Joshua chapter 15. This is a description of the inheritance of the tribe of Judah. Well, when you read these descriptions, you might think, oh, it's all just a boring list of names. But I'm afraid that's how it probably was to them when they first heard this. They were being told, look, go and inherit the kingdom. This is what it's going to be like. From here to here will be your border, etc. And they were like, nah, I've just got my bit of farmland, I'll be good, thanks, I don't want all that. And that's how people are today. They're not interested in the description of God's kingdom or the nature of God's kingdom because, well, I've got my bit of land here and that's the end of that. Well, you read in verse 8 that their border went by the valley of the son of Hinnom, what was later called Gehenna, became the rubbish tip, outside Jerusalem. Their border went by that valley to the side of the Jebusite southward, the same as Jerusalem. Well, we read earlier that Joshua had fought with the king of Jerusalem and won the battle and killed the king of Jerusalem. But here you read that the Jebusites are living there. And, of course, in the time of David, they were controlling Jerusalem, and it was Joab who had to go and drive them out. And you see the same in verse 63 at the end. As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah couldn't drive them out. Well, and he goes on to say, but the Jebusites lived with the children of Judah at Jerusalem to this day. That's the time when this was the book of Joshua was written. What started with Joshua winning a great battle against the king of Jerusalem was unfortunately not followed up. Because they didn't make good on the victory, they started off letting the Jebusites live there, the children of Judah lived with the Jebusites, and then by the time of David, the Jebusites were in total control of Jerusalem, and the Israelites had to attack them, as Joab did, to drive them out, to take Jerusalem. So Joshua is like Jesus. It's the same name. Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua. It means Yahweh saves. And so Jesus has won every battle. He completely overcame sin in all its forms and dimensions when he died on the cross. But we have got to push ahead and possess what he has made possible. The problem is, if you don't take it seriously, and you just say, oh yeah, let these weaknesses remain, they will grow and become bigger. If you allow yourself this weakness or that addiction, before you know where you are, this grows into something else and becomes a giant in your life. This is what happened with the Jebusites. Joshua won the battle. But they didn't follow up. They were happy to live with the Jebusites, but then the Jebusites kicked them out and fortified Jerusalem until, in David's time, it was not even belonging to Israel. It was in their hands. And so the descriptions go on. And then, verse 13, to Caleb, he gave a portion among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even Kiriath Arba, named after the father of Anak, who were told as what was a great giant, was the strongest of the giants. Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. Keeps saying three times over that these were the sons of Anak, and he was the greatest of the giants. Now, when did Caleb drive these out? It was when he was 85 years old, we're told earlier in Joshua, that he was 85, and he says to Joshua, when I was 40 and I went to spy out the land with you, I saw Hebron and I saw what a beautiful area it is, and I took a liking to it. I would like that, please, for my inheritance. I know there's the sons of the giants there, but I'm strong. In God's strength, I can do this. And he does. So, it's all a case of spiritual ambition. Not thinking, oh, well, I'm nobody and nothing. This is not for me. I can't do this. No, he was called to this and he felt that he could do it. He wanted to do this and God gave him the strength to do it. you've got to ask yourself, what could I be spiritually ambitious about? Maybe to make a witness in such and such town. Maybe make a witness to such and such group of people. Maybe to prisoners. Maybe to young folks at school, at college or whatever. And if you really set your heart on that, God will give you all the strength and all the resources you need, if your motives are right. Caleb also went against the inhabitants of Debir, and he said, whoever strikes Kiriath Sefer and takes it, Kiriath Sefer was the old name for Debir, whoever strikes Kiriath Sefer and takes it, I'll give Aksar my daughter as wife. And Othniel the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksar his daughter as wife. So again, they didn't have to do this. This was like, who wants this? Yes, I want it. So he does. It happened that she came to ask her father for a field. She got off her donkey and Caleb said, what do you want? She said, give me a blessing. Because you've set me in the land of the south, give me also springs of water. He gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. So I think you see there three people with spiritual ambition. Caleb says, I would like Hebron. And Debir, or Kiriath Sefer, sure, Joshua says, you can have it. So he drives out the giants from there, and then he says, whoever takes Kiriath Sefer, I'll give you my daughter. And Othniel, one of his younger relatives, takes it. And then Aksar, his daughter, says, Dad, could you give me another area, an additional inheritance that's got some springs of water in it? Sure. You can have this or that. But I guess she and her husband had to drive out whoever was living there. So what you see there is spiritual ambition. Now, if you have that ambition, this absolutely lifts you up above all the petty ambition of people with whom we live. People are ambitious to buy that car, to have that holiday, to get that career, to get that house, to pay off that mortgage. These things are nothing. They are pathetic compared to the ambition to do something for God. And they are the ambitions that will be empowered and which will not disappoint. The car will not grow old and rusty. The house will not fall down, or the region where you bought it disappoint you, or the career disappoint you, or whatever. And it's only, in any case, only what's done for God that's going to last eternally, that you will enjoy the fruit of forever and ever in God's kingdom. So be ambitious. Think what you could be ambitious about, even on a very small scale, starting with baby steps. But what could you do for the Lord? He will empower you to do it.